Welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O podcast, brought to you by myself, David Powell. On this podcast, I'll be talking to a number of daddy-os who are trying to juggle their respective jobs and ever-growing duties as a father. We will be discussing the ups, the downs, and everything in between. We want you to come along on the ride with us. So without further ado, welcome to the Diary of a Daddy-O.
This is a diary pod about how work routines flip, turn upside down, and we'd like to take a second to let you know how we juggle being a dad while being a CEO. Daddy-o.
Okay, so welcome to A Diary of a Daddy-o. We're on episode 9. I am joined by Paul Richardson. I would call him a serial entrepreneur, famous Brummy, and I'm going to hand the floor over to you, mate. I've got written down here that you're an investor, founder, owner, chairman, director, advisor, and then I'll chuck in the last one. You're also a father and daddy-o. So if you wouldn't mind giving us a little bit more of detail, context around your career, right at the beginning, and yeah, we'll get stuck into it.
Yeah, thanks, David. Thanks for asking me on. Obviously something different. I mean, you hit the most important thing in there, you know, father, family and stuff like that, which is the most important thing to me. So, you know, this podcast really rings a bell with me. Yeah, I mean, I go way back into, obviously, when I was at school, I loved working with my dad and, you know, going on trucks and doing anything I possibly could. I've always been like that. Initial years were in waste management, skip hire, which, you know, is, you know, everyone knows what that is, into waste management. And then, you know, sold out 1989, started again in waste management, sold out again in 2000. So always in waste management, but I wanted to move out of that from 2000 onwards. And that's the time when I got involved with Birmingham City. I bought All Saints with a good friend of mine called Nick Dunn and Stuart Trevor. And then tried that sort of entrepreneurism bit rather than just a one trick pony.
Yeah.
And then been back into waste management, and then moving on to the nappy recycling era, which was fantastic and sort of really unusual. Enjoyed that side. And got divorced in 2005, started again in waste management, and then ended up sort of the famous one, obviously, is sort of the most famous and the largest one is Gymshark, which started sort of beginning of 2014. And then I sort of exited that fully in 2021, 2022. And then I've invested in all sorts of companies ranging from Hera, which is, you know, repping the brand now, the girls will kill me, you know, but I do wear it a lot because I love it. And then, you know, the other businesses I've got, Energym, Arcs, cybersecurity, you know, hybrid football, Braun, which is gym related, and I've got forestry, property and that sort of stuff.
Incredible. I mean, there's a really wide spectrum of different types of companies there. Like you said, the waste management, then you've got All Saints, Gymshark, Hera with the sort of the retail clothing sector, but all really that sort of entrepreneurial drive that you've been at the sort of the top of the companies driving them forward. Is that something that sort of came from working with your dad? Did you sort of take elements of how he was working and sort of being like, this is how I want to go. I want to bring my children into my work-life balance, how your dad did with you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking many, many years ago here, you know, and my dad was sort of, he was a market trader initially. And, you know, my background initially was I was born out of wedlock. It was my dad and mom got together and I was going to be given away to an orphanage. And then my mom decided after I was literally born that she wouldn't give me away. And that's a big sliding doors moment in my life because, you know, you never know where I would have ended up. And, you know, I've now got two brothers and two sisters and one brother. And obviously that family is sort of correlated from the beginnings with my mom not giving me away, you know. A big family influence. My dad was, as I said, a market trader, very cash orientated, very, you know, no real, I would say the normal business skills you would see today, the sort of honed business skills. It was all intuition, and I learned so much from that point of view. And you know, we started with absolutely nothing. You know, my mum and dad's first place of their own to live was a two-berth caravan, and hooked up to a van on the back of a van on a pub car park. You know, so that's where we come from, and that does give you an element of you know, grounding when you're starting in business, because you know, most of my businesses previously to the Gymshark era, you know, were literally started from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, back in the day you had overdrafts and finance and all sorts of different things, but you know, yeah, it was like that. And the waste management industry in particular is a dog-eat-dog, tough, you know, high capital business, low margins, you know, and you normally sell the businesses for turnover. So you're going for turnover, and as long as you can stay in profit somehow, even, you know, just in profit, then the business is called successful. So, you know,
different
businesses.
So when you obviously, in your early career, was more focused around the waste management. Was that where you were at in terms of your career when you had your two daughters, or where did that sort of fit along the your career span?
Yeah, I mean, you know, both of them were born in that sort of era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my big sort of sale was 2000 in my personal life. You know, 2000, and so they were both already born and around. And Holly in particular, because she's the elder one, you know, I've got pictures of her in trucks and on diggers and things like that, where, you know, she already sort of was that practical girl. I remember we had a house out in Balbroughton, and there was a sort of a little sort of stream running through the front field, and I've hired a little mini digger and wanted to clear it out, and she came with me, and I always remember within a few minutes she'd got the hang of it and was actually doing it, and I was sitting having a beer on the side watching. You know, so yeah, that sort of shows a great aptitude of early age to actually being able to do things and wanting to do things.
Was it always part of your plan, or was it something that sort of happened where, like, obviously you've got that story there when Holly was young, but now being heavily involved with your latest company, Hera, where your both daughters run it, don't they? Yeah, was there always a plan, or is it something that sort of just, as you've got older and you've seen their sort of desire to get into business, is it something you wanted them to do, or have they always had like a passion for following in your footsteps?
Well, they both went off and sort of did their own thing, you know, and I thought that was a good way to do it, because I did it the other way around, and I went straight into business with my dad and that sort of stuff. And that was tough because I sort of didn't know anything else. That actually didn't bother me, but I think things are a little bit different in them days. I did have a period in when I was 19 and a half, actually, that I'd had enough. I'd been there a couple of years, and the business wasn't progressing how I thought it should do. So I sort of did a bit of protest and left. And I actually went to work for Lucas's in this small factory down in Saltley in Birmingham. And, you know, I did from sort of 8 to 5 and went home, had a lunch and all them sort of things that when you're in a business of your own, especially like what they class as startups now, we didn't even think of it back in the day as like, oh, this is a startup. This is just,
yeah.
You know, there was none of that sort of terminology. So, yeah, I did that. And then obviously I sort of knew that I didn't really want to go to Lucas's. It was a bit of a protest. And then, and it was all about my dad was used to buying older trucks, and we had about 6 or 8 trucks, and they're always breaking down, and we had 8 drivers. And I sort of said to him that if we bought 2 or 3 trucks new, and we had some higher purchase, and we actually went into debt, which he hated, it would cut the numbers of drivers down, it would give a better service, we would have less overheads, but more, and less to make more money. But yes, we would have to go into debt, and we'd have money that we had to pay every week or every month that we didn't have. But actually, he relented, and I went back, and that's what we actually did, and that's what started that company off into being where it was. But yeah, sort of circling back to answer your question, I don't, I don't think there's, it's not been an absolute and utter plan. I think there's always been a longing for us to do it. I think the girls always wanted to do something for themselves. They tried different things, like Holly was working for Flannels. She worked for Gymshark at one point. She worked for My Protein. She took My Protein's clothing line from a small turnover to a much larger turnover, and helped them build their clothing brand. Georgia was into PR and things like that in London, so on travel, hotels, and fashion as well. So I think that they had that initial grounding, but there was always this yearning for us to do something and hopefully use my experience and experiences to avoid some of the pitfalls that a normal young person would end up with having to go through and you know, things like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And your experience for them in especially in the retail clothing sector is absolutely invaluable. Like I think back to when we started 3 or 4 Clothing, we had no one to sort of help us navigate those pitfalls that you, without knowing them, you'll just walk straight into them head first, and it causes you a lot of problems, a lot of grief.
Yeah, and I think that was sort of one of the successes of Gymshark, was having the experience that we had in the business. When we met the guys in 2014, you know, myself and you know, I brought Steve Hewitt in and another guy called Rich Chappell and many other people that were brought up on board by various people, was having that experience in the different areas of a business that was growing really, really quickly and unprecedented. It really helped because, you know, everyone was able to pitch in and, you know, you weren't walking into a fire every day, which you normally would do, you know. I'm not saying you can avoid everything. And, you know, we do. People always say, oh, don't make the same mistake twice. We do. We make similar mistakes, you know, along the way. We're only human, remember. And, you know, we're not robots and infallible. And, you know, we do make similar sort of mistakes as we go along. But, you know, we're trying to, you know, make less mistakes. And that's where you get progress.
Was there anything in how your relationship was with your dad while you worked together that you've taken forward as like a positive or sort of a framework for how you deal with your daughters at Hera? Is there certain elements that you're like, I want to make sure that our relationship's slightly different and there is a clear divide between dad and boss or however the setup may be?
Yeah, I mean, it's with my dad, there was a big differentiator in, you know, his education to what education I had, which was, you know, vastly different. I think he left school at, I'll say 12 or something like that, you know, and that was, you know, the sort of done the thing then. So he wasn't educated very well. I did get an education. That was the thing that I wanted to do, and I wanted to do it for him, to be fair. That was the sort of thing. I went to a grammar school, which was, you know, a thing back in the day. I never went to uni. I had no intention. I didn't want to go. All I wanted to do was do my, what was O-levels in them days, I think the GCSEs today. Do those, and that was it. I was done. I proved my point. I think the relationship that I've got with the girls now is, you know, their education and life experiences are probably different, but not as different as mine were with my dad, you know. So I think there's a little bit of that. We try to do it, and I say openly, they run the business. I don't run Hera. I try and have my input when I can. I try and give them my experience. I try and point them in the direction of someone that knows. So again, you know, just because I was at Gymshark doesn't mean to say I know an e-com business inside out. I don't. I actually was in the back end of the business more than anything else, but I've got really good friends who were those people or were associated with the business that we're able to turn to and they're able to use. So they're using my, you know, we can use a lot of my contacts, associates and people like that to help us out. As much as, you know, myself, it's more about the life experience side and the support and the, you know, things aren't going right. You know, we will come through this because I've done it. You know, you talk about a recession. I don't know how many I've done at my old age, but I've done a few. Yeah. And as long as you graft really hard and you work as hard as you can at it, you don't have to switch every single light off and become like a hermit. But I think as long as you realise it's here, you're trying to work out what you're facing and do your very best, you will get through it.
Yeah.
And it will come out again and it will all start again. And that's just proven over the many, many recessions to whenever you want to think about. So I think that's key, because I think sometimes if you're just on your own in a business, and my dad died died over 30 odd years ago, so I've been in business quite a lot on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things I had to do is, my dad went to prison two or three times, and I had to grow up fast. I had to grow up very, very quickly. And then he died when I was 30 years old. So again, that's a long time to be without him.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have as much as his time as I would have really, really liked. And one of the things for me is I want to try and live as long as I can, so that my daughters can get the most out of me, and I can get the most out of life as well. So I look after myself and that sort of stuff, mentally and physically.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone doesn't follow Paul on Instagram, you definitely should. You've got your own gym, you do your ice baths, and you do live a very sort of healthy, active lifestyle, don't you?
Yeah, I haven't always. I haven't always, but I turned to training, to lifting many years ago, mainly after my divorce, and it became the thing that I did slowly but surely. It wasn't like an instant, my fingers. It took a while to realize that there was a lot of good things about it, and it really helped me. I'm only short in height, so if you're really skinny and but you're fit, you sort of can blend into a room. And I wanted to feel some stature about myself. I wanted to feel mm-hmm. proud, and it's what did it for me. Another guy can run three marathons, and I'll applaud them. I think it's fantastic. But I wanted something different, and that's what I've tried to push on with. And I eat healthily, and as much as I can. But it wasn't always the case.
Was when you exited your first company and you had your two daughters, was there an element of the decision based on the fact that you wanted to spend more time with your daughters at that point, or was there, I wanted to step into a new business, I wanted to start something new, I had an itch you need to scratch, or was there that sort of, I can only imagine from a little bit of experience I have, that when you are trying to build a business, it's full on, you're in the, as people call it, the trenches, and sometimes other areas of your life take a hit, and family, unfortunately, sometimes is that hit, isn't it, that you don't have as much time as you would like for them. Was that part of the decision why you made?
The Diary of a Daddy-O is proudly part of Lid the Group family, and is sponsored by Lid Project, your plug-in sales and marketing team, founded by brand owners for brand owners.
I think a couple of things. It was having a big offer at the time, it was the right time for me to do it. And I was slightly bored with, I'd sold the first company in 1989 with my dad. My dad then had a year and then he passed. I started again in 92 and built one up, which was about 10 times the size of the first one. And I sold that in 2000. So both girls were like, I think if I have one, I don't like quite using the word regret, but I think, things you might do slightly differently, and I don't mean to say I should change completely, because it is the way you build. It would have been to have more time with them, I think. But I didn't sell it for that, and my problem, and it is still a little bit today, is I'm always looking for that next challenge, and
mm-hmm.
I do know, I'm for sure that my personal life can tend to suffer for my sort of business ambitions, and not necessarily always about how much money. It does become a little bit of an addiction, and you hear many other podcasts, Stephen Bartlett and things like that, where they do talk about this. You get to that top of the mountain, you do that, and it's like, okay, what's next? That is the case, and it's really difficult to to understand from the outside of why people would want it. Again, you know, as I say, it's not a regret. It's something I just think, oh yeah, I could have probably done a little bit better. But I think in hindsight, we could have done everything a little bit better in our lives, haven't we? You know, you could always look back and go, I wish this and wish that. The one thing I will say, you know, is a lot of the businesses that I've been in were really, really tough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you needed every bit about you to do, and you needed to put the hours in. And I generally, and I say this, I've said it before, is I don't know many successful people that haven't got an imbalance in their life. It's trying to not have a constant imbalance.
Yeah.
And trying to put something back in. So, you know, from the point of view of, you know, when the girls were young, you know, we had really nice holidays. We had a really nice house. You know, we had a great lifestyle. I think I was there as much as I possibly could be, given my circumstances. But, you know, like I said, I think you can always do better in everything you do.
When you had your two daughters, what was your sort of scenario like in terms of like paternity leave? Were you straight back in there? I had PJ on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he said one of his, like you just said there, maybe not regret, but something that he wished he'd have maybe done slightly differently was he was back at work the next day after having his first child, and he said, obviously now as you're older and you've gone through businesses and life experiences, he's like, I wish I'd maybe told my boss to do one and said, no, this is like, you only have one child, your first child once, I want to be at home for my wife as well. What was your sort of setup like back then?
It was straight back. I mean, that wasn't just at birth. I did that with my dad passing as well. You know, literally it was everything carries on. And, you know, business was like that at the time. I think I could possibly be different now, and I think probably, you know, let's say when I was working at Gymshark and there was this spread of people across the business that were doing many different things, I think, let's say if I had a child at that point in my life, then I probably could have gone, yeah, I know I can actually take some time off. But at the time when I was in business for myself back in the day, it just felt every day was so important, and you know, everything was always on an edge. You know, there wasn't like, you know, the Gymshark where the business just flew and was cash in the bank and everything was far more comfortable as a business. That Gymshark was probably the first, I would say, it was an abnormal business, but let me call it normal. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you made a good profit, there was money in the bank, you weren't constantly fighting everything. Whereas my previous businesses had always been dog eat dog. And, you know, always on an edge of, you know, success and failure.
Yeah.
So I think it sort of depends upon your circumstances, you know. And I just have friends who would take their kids to school in our group. But it wasn't actually, I wouldn't say it was 100% that he wanted to take his kids to school. He just never liked to get up in the morning. He was happy to get up at sort of 8 or 8:30, whereas I was up at 6 o'clock every day in work, and that was my business, was an early morning business.
Yeah.
So I would get that thrown back at me, you know, sometimes, but I do wonder about his decision at the time, whether it was for the kids or it's the fact that he'd get an extra half an hour or that 1 hour in bed or whatever.
Yeah.
You know. But again, you know, different lifestyles suit different things, and I'm never into saying that everyone should do what I do, and I'm never into someone actually telling me what I should do. You know, that's like, I'm a lifter, you know, I lift heavy stuff. I'm not the fittest, you know, I'm not going to run anywhere very well.
Yeah.
Comfort, not speed. But I'm happy with it, you know, that's what I wanted to do. And if I wanted to be really fit and a runner and stuff like that, then I would just change my lifestyle to suit that and I would do it. So, you know, it's what you want to do.
Absolutely. You mentioned a little bit earlier about what Stephen Bartlett said and some of his guests talking about that sort of gold medal syndrome and being at the top of the mountain. Was there ever an exit out of a business or a success story within a business, not necessarily just an exit, like a really successful product launch or something that happened where you managed to take the time and say, wow, guys, we've done something really special here, and not been like, right, let's go to the next one. Like, you really successful footballers are like, right, next game, next game, next game. Have you ever managed to sort of take a moment to reflect?
No, not really. I mean, one of my achievements that I sort of hold quite high was when I was in normal waste management around the West Midlands, I was regarded as one of the best and the most successful. But I was like a big fish in a small pond, and you know, it gets a little bit claustrophobic, and you can get a bit sort of, I'll use the word, you know, arrogance is probably the word, or whatever it is, you know. And when I went into the nappy recycling business, that was a massive pond because it's a worldwide issue. And I was just a little fish in it. Mm-hmm. But I became, along with my business partner at the time, we became number one and number two in the world at knowing about nappy recycling. Wow. So that doesn't sound like a great deal, but I was actually really proud of that. But I went in knowing literally nothing, and I'd immersed myself in it for a few years. And, you know, we built a pilot plant which we successfully processed dirty nappies and incontinent waste, and we recycled the whole lot, barring the liquid side. We could even recycle the solids, if you know what the solids are. But, you know, I was an authority on that. So that's probably one of the things that I felt really quite proud of. It was actually sort of specifically to me and, you know, my business partner there, and, you know, we did that. Whereas the Gymshark sort of success story, which is the one that's heralded from everyone, you know, was a lot of people, and, you know, it was a team, massive team effort. You know, sometimes it doesn't quite look like that from Ben's videos. You know, I don't think he's the best at giving the credit to the right people. But it was a massive team effort with a lot of people to get that success that that got.
Yeah.
And that was still a fantastic achievement because, you know, when I originally met them, it was, they were doing 4.5 million and there was 8 staff. And I think I left at 450 million. And about 800 to 1,000 staff, you know, so massive achievement.
Yeah.
But, yeah. There's none that I've ever come off the mountain and gone, that's good enough.
Yeah.
In a sense, I've sort of gone, okay, almost like, where's the next big pond?
So I can take it that you're still looking for more businesses and more projects to get involved in as you go, I assume.
I'm not at the moment. So what I did was I did go a little bit crazy, and I did it on several things. That's just in my nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think having insecurities around not being busy, not being, you know, worth, you know, I want to prove my worth all the time. And
yeah,
that's a personal thing and something that I'm currently working on. My girls got quite concerned, and, you know, we had lots of talks on it about what I was getting involved with. It's almost like I couldn't say no.
Mm-hmm.
And I did several things, like I wanted a car collection. And when I finished at Gymshark completely and moved out of that, I bought 15 cars.
Okay.
You know, and it was like, okay, cars were going up at the time. So there was in my head, there was a reason to do it.
Yeah.
But then I realized I've got 15 MOTs. Then I realized I've got 15 services. Then I've got 15 moving them around all the time. And in the end, it was like, nah, I don't really want that number of cars. So, you know, I want less. And I want to manage it. So I think that's a case of doing something and then realizing it's asking for whatever the reason was, it wasn't what you want, and, you know, things like that. And that's the same with the businesses, you know, I was talking to them a lot, and I have got involved in a lot, and it's took me quite a while now to get them all into slots ready. And my girls are, we had a conversation yesterday about it, you know, and I've got it under control now, which is really, really good. And, you know, I'm working on what I've got, making what I've got better rather than taking anything new on, almost no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Unless it will complement something specifically, then I've no real interest in it.
So, I mean, just obviously I'm from a similar area of the world to yourself, and obviously you're involved in Calibre, which I've known them for years through 304, and then Will with My Energy, Hera were around similar time to 304 with the previous owner. So like I've seen all the businesses, and as you've started to like add them onto your portfolio, it's always been quite exciting for me to see that it's like these businesses that were floating around, either people that I knew through an extended sort of network that you've started to get involved in and grow. Like it's really good to see. But and then obviously the Birmingham City as well, which I've got a lot of Blue Nose fans, which that's another story, I guess.
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, I got dragged into that in a sense. You know, I was there, I was asked to do something, and ended up being pushed to the front. And I'm not generally that pushed to the front guy, to be fair. But I'm a Blues fan, and you know, my heart was in the right place to do it. It was only when we went into it and found out, you know, there was lots of things in there that, due to my integrity and my way and my reputation, that I couldn't carry on with. So I had to take a loss on things, and you know, there's something, a bit of reputational issues there. But I just think that if you don't want those sort of things, then just don't do anything, because you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to say, I can do this for the company, or I can assist, you know, Braun, and I can, you know, push them forward, or you know, Energym or whoever else, Caliber, you know, the rest of them. You've got to put yourself out there. So just don't worry about that, you know, at the end of the day. If your heart's in the right place, you know you're doing the right thing, and you're not telling loads of lies, then generally it will come out okay. And, you know, football's a fickle world anyway. You know, you're never going to please everyone. but, yeah, it was a big experience for me. Big experience in a different type of business, and I actually call it a business, and it's really not a business.
No,
it's not a business. It's a strange cookie.
In terms of Birmingham City, or just like the football?
Just football in general. Football. It's a really strange sort of, you know, dynamic in as a business world. I was quite interested in the fashion sport collaboration thing.
Yeah,
really now started to take off, in particularly football, and managing that dynamic. So that was one of the reasons that I was really interested in it. And with Hera, we have got a good relationship with a lot of footballers. Rachel Daly was one of our ambassadors in the World Cup year, and we've got a close relationship with Luke Wright and others as well, you know, on the sort of female side. But yeah, that was interesting for sure.
I can imagine. I'm a massive Man City fan, and I talk on a Man City podcast and stuff, and every single year that you go further forward being a football fan, you're even being dragged into the business side of a football club just from being a fan. You're sort of expected to understand about the ethics of your owners, the ins and outs of profit and losses for a business, especially being a Man City fan. Obviously, there's a lot of eyes on it, but even just from a fan perspective, it's, you don't just follow the football team anymore. It's this overarching business brand club element that I cannot imagine how difficult it'd be to run a football club. We get fans complaining about ticket allocation for Man City all the time, and it's like I can't pass comment on it because I cannot imagine how difficult it must be for a group to try and make it fair for everyone.
It's a real difficult business, because obviously fans almost can never be totally pleased, you know. But I think the problem you've got is the owners that have come into the football world are not good owners, a lot of them, and they're coming in for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
They're not actually. So my passion for Birmingham City was that club was for the community and the supporters, not for the business point of view. Mm-hmm. It needed to be sustainable and wash its face. But when you've got your wage bill is more than your turnover before you even open the gates, and that's with a lot of clubs, it's a real struggle. But, you know, you wouldn't let that happen if it was a normal company.
Yeah.
But they do most of it on a wing and a prayer, and actually manoeuvring things around that you wouldn't believe. And it's a pretty disgraceful from what I've seen.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of clubs, because, again, after Birmingham City, I was offered a lot of clubs. I still get offered different clubs now. I'm not that interested, but, you know, if you saw some of the financials, it's just disgraceful. And that, you know, it's not fair, because the fans, supporters, community you can't change what club you're going to go to. I don't believe, you know, if you're a Blues fan, you're a Blues fan. If you're a Villa fan, you're a Villa fan, Man City, whatever. You know, if you want different shopping, you can go to Tesco, Sainsbury's, go to Harrods if you want for your package.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you have that choice, but you can't do that with football generally, you know. Unless you're a Man United fan, I'll probably say that because you'll probably agree.
Yeah. Well, they're all disappearing under a rock at the moment, I think, United fans, or at least since 2012 anyway.
Yeah. Sorry, Man United fan.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a few happy ones this weekend as well, to be fair, beating Liverpool.
Was a great game.
That was a superb game. I guess a couple more questions for you. Do you, if you could give, it's a bit of a hard question to ask, but if you could give one piece of advice to an entrepreneur right now who is a dad, what advice would that be and why?
Be really honest and open at every possible opportunity. The thing with your family is they know you really, really well. And I think, you know, you've got to, it's quite difficult as an older guy as well, because as an older guy getting to a certain age, you're starting to have that feeling of not being very useful. And that you know, that can have an impact on how you feel and what decisions you might want to make. But I think you've just got to try and talk and be open. And myself and my girls are working hard on that one. You know, it hasn't been absolutely perfect for us, but for us, it's a work in progress all the time, and we're trying to learn. And, you know, the dynamic of working together. I did it with my family. My brother and sisters have worked with me, you know, over the years. I mean, I think my famous one is I sacked my brother.
Okay.
You know, for whatever reason, we're still mates now, you know. So again, you know, don't let it stand in the way of things. So I think you know, by saying being open and honest about it is a real massive thing. But I think that if you can do that and over time work at it, work hard at it, don't just take it for granted that it's just going to go, you know, all to plan. So, you know, that's my thing. And it is a difficult dynamic. If I look at the dynamic between myself, Steve, and Ben at Gymshark as a three, it was easier than my dynamic between myself, Holly, and Georgia, because we didn't have family connection in between. Even though everyone would think it would be easier, I think it's slightly harder. But I think, you know, the benefits of it when you come out is, you know, I would take a bullet for my daughters. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
I would catch the grenade. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And they know that. So I think that they know that. So again, having that trust from them that I will catch that grenade to stop it hurting them is, I suppose, something you don't get in a normal dynamic of a
family. Yeah, absolutely. Do you manage to, or do you put anything in place where, say, you meet up with your daughters that you say, right, we are not discussing business today, it is purely family, or does it slide in sometimes?
Yeah, we're working on that one. So
we
currently do a formal board meeting sort of day, and then we do a strategy day. That's my two sort of half a days that I do with Heron now. And that, you know, I did used to do a one day a week, but it became a point where I was just going to the office and I actually wasn't working on Heron. I was there and it started to not quite work, you know. Want the girls to do their own thing, but want to be there to help on maybe, you know, the male side of things sometimes, or, you know, any strategy. But we've done the strategy now. The best one we had was we went to So Farmhouse and we were offside and we were down there. And I was talking about yesterday how much more relaxed it was and how we sort of flowed a lot better. You know, I've got a grandson and, you know, I don't see him as much as I should do and I could do, but I'm aiming to get better at that as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, want to help with that when he's probably a little bit older. I've got tractors and diggers, and he's already on them, which is fantastic. He's going to be a practical lad. So I know we're going to have a lot of catching up with him on adventures later, because I know he's going to want to come onto my farm here and just go on adventures. So, you know, he's a little bit young for that at the moment. So I think it's like anything else. It's working at it all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the secret to it. Not expecting it to go bang on, smack on.
Who's the worst in terms of not putting that barrier in place? Is it you or is it your daughters?
Oh, I'm probably the worst.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I've got more years in the grinding business, haven't I?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, they're notorious for telling me I've already told them something.
Right, okay.
But I just think, again, when you're not involved in the business, and I had this with Gymshark as well, by the way, is when I was a consultant doing one day a week, it was like I was a bit of a foreigner.
Mm.
When actually I went in and I ended up becoming a proper director and working for full time, I moved on from the nappy business at that point. It was a choice of nappy business or Gymshark, and I chose Gymshark. That just changed completely the dynamic. So again, you know, as a father or a mother, you know, involved in the business from the outside, it's also a really difficult dynamic for you going in on that one day, and actually you're not there for the rest of the week, so you don't know what's happened in the normal way, and you end up, as I say, reiterating on something that they've already probably done or
you
know, we talked about 2 weeks ago, but you're just recalling it. I was with a guy up in Sheffield last week, and it was about a business potential deal, but also he was the son and the father, and we had a long talk about how things were going and what to do and things like that. So I was trying to give him advice from being a son to my father, and then now obviously coming down. So I've got it from both angles. And I've had it from both angles, and I still haven't got it right.
Well, it's a process, and it's constantly progressing, isn't it? It's like my son's 15 months old now, and I'm sure in 10 years' time, I'll look back and say, oh, maybe I should have done something slightly different with him in terms of work-life balance, whether it's setting examples with using my phone too much around him or loads of different things. But you, like you said, you're never going to get it 100% right.
And you shouldn't have massive regrets. You've just got to do, you know, you're in the moment, and it's what you're trying to do in the moment. And I think trying to, as you said, stay away from your phone. I mean, that's just natural. We're all doing it. We're all trying to improve. But, you know, the guys that, or girls that, you know, tell you that, you know, they get up at 4 in the morning, do 2 hours of meditation, go for a marathon run, do an hour in the hot tub and an hour in the cold tub, and then eventually they might do some work at some point.
Yeah.
And I just don't believe it all, to be honest. You know, I mean, most successful people, and I know some Olympians, and I know some billionaires, and I know some really, like, you know, professors and things like that, and people, doctors, and most of them who are successful in whatever their field don't have that balance.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have it, you know, because that's generally not how it happens.
Thank you very much, Paul. We'll leave it there. 42 minutes. I've kept you longer than I said, but I really appreciate you sharing all those words of wisdom, telling us your story. I guess we'll just finish with one question, if you don't mind. Was there one piece of advice you gave to your daughters when they went into sort of the business owner rather than their sort of early careers that you gave them that you could share with the listeners?
It is one of my normal business things, which is just about resilience. And it's, you know, every single day you're going to come up with, you're going to have problems of some description, some small, some big. You've got to learn to just, you know, get past those problems. You know, could be really small, as I say, like stubbing your toe when you get up out of bed. That could be the worst thing that happened in the day. Or it could be something really big. But, you know, for me, it's just about, business is about keep going back again, keep getting up and keep moving forward. And, you know, that working hard ethics, giving yourself the resilience mentally and physically as well.
Yeah.
You know, and we try and support each other on those sort of things. But yeah, it's about the resilience side, and the fact is you have to be.
Yeah.
Otherwise don't do your own business.
I think that's really good advice as well, to finish on the fact that advice rings completely true for being a parent as well, which
exactly.
I've talked about it before, but those 2, 3, 4 a.m. sessions where you're with your child and they're crying, mentally, it was more difficult than anything I'd ever experienced in business, because you are trying to fix a solution which you can't physically fix it. You just have to be present there and be strong to be there emotionally and physically for your child. So I really like that most of the things that yourself and other people said on the podcast for from the business point of view in terms of advice just completely correlate straight across to if you're thinking about being a parent or you're lucky enough to become a parent, it just matches straight across.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I remember with Holly, I mean, you know, I functioned with not a lot of sleep. I'm okay with it, always have all my life, but she went to be in the middle of the night quiet. I'd go into her room and she had a cough. And she'd be standing up in the bars, screaming, shouting. And, you know, you can't do much about it. So for me, it was, I just used to sit on the side and I used to let her almost like run out of steam over time. Mm-hmm. But that was just, no one said to do it. You know, it was just, that's what it was. And I knew that if I did that, that worked for her and it worked for me. And I think you've got to try those things out in parenthood. Books are great. And I'm sure there's lots of more books and, you know, tips on all sorts of things now to help you. But it's really individual to you. And I think, you know, we're all so different. We're not like we're the same, but we're so different.
Yeah.
You know, every single person and the dynamics. And that's why managing people within a business is the toughest job you'll ever do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have 10 people in the room and they can be completely different and they're all in your team.
Yeah.
You've got to be expected to manage them. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much again, Paul, for coming on and sharing your story. And hopefully everyone enjoyed listening to it. And we'll be back next week with a final episode 10 of the series. But yeah, thank you, Paul.
Thanks, David. A work-life balance is hard to do while juggling a business and date nights too. But life goes on, so what baby we got? Now I'm trying to juggle work while feeding baby that bop. I deal with one dirty nappy and turn my back and hear 101 messages pinging through Slack. Sleep deprivation, you can see it in my eyes. As I hop on Google Meets, I hear the baby starts crying. So I mute and shout to mom, you okay in there, dear? She says, get on with your work, we'll be okay in here. I wash up the bottles around 8 or 9. By the time I'm in my office, sometimes it's lunchtime. Looked at my partner, said, one day I'll know how to juggle my new life as a successful daddy-o.